is Dick Valentine from Electric Six. You're listening to CITR 101.9, University of British Columbia. When a problem needs a problem solver, guess who gets the call? Me, that's all. You're tuning with a black revolver. Guess who dropped the ball? The writing's on the wall. The president of the Capitol Lady lost the Senate green. From New York to Los Angeles and all points in between.
Sexy and Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR. Well, 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 welcome to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. Or maybe you could be one of our podcast listeners, however you've decided to spend this hour with us. We are very, very glad to have you. I hope all of you, as you've been listening to the show for the last couple years, I hope that you're very passionate about your life. So whether that, and that should start with you personally, and what you do in your day, what you do in your relationships, and all those things that you create and inspire in other people as well. Because when you are passionate, you inspire others to do the same. And I am very excited because tonight I've got a really wonderful, dear, dear friend of mine who's a new friend. And I'm very excited to have her on the show because she's also a very passionate woman. And she's created something called the Passion Foundation. And she's also a life coach. And so we're going to be chatting a little bit about how to connect in terms of your personal passion, what drives you, to inspires you, and gets you up every day, and how to discover that. But as well as that, we're going to hear a little bit about the Passion Foundation as well, and all the great works that Loretta Sella is doing. Welcome to the show, Ms. Loretta.
Thanks, Caroline. I'm so happy to be able to join you tonight.
Me too. It's really great, especially in this crazy busy season.
Yeah. It has been quite a whirlwind over the last couple of weeks for most people that I've encountered.
It definitely has been. I can definitely speak to that, and you've definitely helped me get through that in an amazing way. And you personally, you've got a lot going on. I've heard a rumor, and you can tell me if this is fact or fiction on the show, that there is an art exhibit that has your name and the work, the girls that you work with through the Passion Foundation written all over it. Fact or fiction?
It is fact.
Tell me a little bit about that.
Over the last little while, I guess starting in September, I had the privilege of doing some work with some amazing young women out of the Burnaby Youth Custody Center. And whenever I work with young women, I use a series called The Elements of Success, which is a coaching series that I created, which basically looks at the me-to-we factor. So who am I, what am I about, and how do we work together to not only create passion within our own lives, but also to contribute back into the community.
Mm.
And I'm fortunate enough that these girls, over the course of the workshops, they started to identify a couple really important topics to them. One was around forgiveness, and the other one was around acceptance. So this is great, and what they did is they decided to create a sustainable art project made of recyclable goods. Figures of women illustrating those two topics.
I think that's fantastic. And on your blog, you've encouraged people to comment in regards to it, and as well as that, when people come to go see the exhibit, they're able to, there's a box there where they can actually leave comments as well, isn't there?
Yeah, so if you go down to the UBC Robson Square, where down in Vancouver, where the amazing outdoor skating rink is, if you walk just inside the doors, you'll see the display of the girls. Our work, you can't miss it. One of them, I think, is about 6'3". So they went bigger. They went home and they went big. And they're quite amazing pieces. And there's a box there that the girls have asked the community, girls, women, men, to come by and how they are affected by these two topics and the artwork, to leave a comment, a saying, a story, a poem, a photograph. And every day I go by and I add whatever's in the box and I add it to the figures.
I love that. So basically now the community's adding to it as well, which I think is fantastic.
one of the really great things about these girls is that they quite out-of-the-box thinkers, and they said, you know, yes, it's good for us to have, you know, this, but it's also about the other people that are involved in the community as well.
Mm.
And we also understand, as you mentioned, that we put it on our blog because we know that a lot of people, especially during the holiday season, aren't able to make it down, so we encourage people who can't to get on the blog, look at the pictures, see the write-up, and either send me an email or leave a comment there, and I will type them out and bring them down and add them to the actual figures.
I think that's fantastic. So tell me, if paint a picture in my mind, so for those listeners who, I want you to imagine all our listeners are basically have their eyes closed and they're listening to us right now. And how would you describe it to somebody who may not be able to have the eyes to see it?
The artwork.
6 foot three.
What's that, sorry?
6 foot three.
So there is one woman, the one in particular that I've got in my mind right now. Her name, they've named her the Lady of Forgiveness.
Hmm.
And the Lady of Forgiveness stands at about 6 foot three, maybe 6 foot two. She has yarn hair, a bright red face. Her torso is made out of milk jugs that are painted black, and her skirt is made out of newspaper and tissue paper that's crinkled together that looks like a big flowing dress.
Wow.
And in her arm, in one arm, is her heart. And it's a newspaper with feathers. And the idea is that we hold the heart close to us, and sometimes it's not inside of us, but it's close enough that that it means something.
That sounds amazing. What are the age range of the girls that you're working with that created this project?
The girls range from about, I would say, probably about 16 to 19 years of age.
Okay. And what did you learn through this process personally?
Wow. I learned a lot, actually. And every group of girls that I work with, whether it's here in the Metro Vancouver area or whether it's overseas, as I've done some work in Uganda and Kenya,
mm-hmm.
I learned so much from them. And this particular group of girls obviously have quite a lot of barriers that they face. And that's the reason why they're incarcerated right now.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of what I learned was around, well, patience is one of them, and that we all need that at certain stages of our lives. And we live in a world that's instant gratification, so they wanted results now. And when it came to the artwork and Laura, one of the child protection workers, that really, I have to commend her for the amount of energy that she also mentored the girls through this project. What I learned was that they wanted the results now of this artwork, and they couldn't get it, and that created a lot of frustration and
mm-hmm.
discouragement because they put a lot of time and energy into these pieces. So really that follow-through, they get the reward, right? So if
mm-hmm.
you have that patience and are able to do step-by-step, that there's a reward at the end of it. A lot of what I learned, too, working with these girls is around really being open, to see how beautiful somebody can shine if you can create the space for them to jump into it.
That's a really beautiful way to put it, creating space for them to jump into it. And did you see that through each of the girls that you worked with? Like where they were able to, as you opened up, where they were able to create and just basically shine?
You know what? In different ways, yes. There are some girls, because you're in an institution where the transition is really high.
Mm-hmm.
I may have worked with a girl once. I may have worked with her six times. I may have worked with her 12 times, depending on what the circumstance was. The ones, and I'll kind of speak to the ones that I had an opportunity to work with for a longer length of time.
Mm.
I watched them really shine in engaging. I remember one of the girls were sitting there one night and we're talking about self-imposed limitations. And when you're talking with teenage girls about self-imposed limitations, there's some challenges with that. But one of the cool things is the frustration, I don't get it, these are hard questions. Why do I have to look at this? And then, them going through the process of what is that limitation and how does it stop you? And what if that limitation wasn't there?
Mm-hmm.
What if we imagine that we could magically remove that limitation? What would your life look like? And the growth that they got, you know, watching some of that process with them was pretty remarkable. It was pretty remarkable. I actually had one girl that I've offered to meet with and coach up until March. Every week I go and meet with her for an hour, and she was part of a big part of, a huge part of this project, actually.
That's fantastic. And
yeah, and she just basically said to me yesterday. how the days fly by.
This time of year, it seems to do that more than ever.
Yeah, she turned to me and she just said, and I said, you know, how useful is this for you? Because really, I wanted to be the best use of her time and my time as well.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, she just looked at me really blank in the face. She said, if this wasn't useful, I wouldn't be here.
Wow.
And it was kind of that stern kind of look. And my time is valuable, too. And just her being able to say that to me is powerful.
It's very powerful.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. This is kind of a time of year as well where it'd probably be really good for people to come and take a look at the work that you're doing, because I commend you for it and the work that the girls have done, and really reflect in terms of their own lives, because I know New Year's is coming up, a fresh year, as I'm going to paraphrase Anne from Green Gables, but basically every day is a fresh day with no mistakes in it. And I think sometimes people think that about a new year. So if people were looking in terms of getting coaching in general, what would you recommend some of the things they might want to think about before they decide to engage in getting a coach?
That's a great question. I think that what I often tell people is coaching is a really powerful tool. It's about creating a space for yourself.
Okay.
And so are you ready for that space to be created?
And how can people answer that? Because sometimes people know that they're at a crossroads where they want to change, but they're not really sure how. They just know they're really unhappy. Maybe they hate their job. They, you know, they're not happy in their relationships. They just feel stuck. And so moving forward for that, and perhaps they're looking at a coach, what might be something that they might want to, some questions that they might need to ask themselves to figure out if it's the right fit in terms of a coach for them personally?
One of the things that, I guess there's a couple pieces to that.
Okay.
And to make it really simple would be first, how bad do you want it? And if you scaled it on, on a 1 to 10, basically 1 being, you know what, I'm really not even there yet. I might be there later, but I'm not there at all right now.
Mm-hmm.
And 10 being, you know what, I am still ready to take this on and to make a transition into myself and into the things that I'm passionate about, or maybe even just to explore what that might look like for me.
Mm-hmm.
If you grade yourself more than a 5, and you're kind of at the 6-7, connect with a coach. And one of the great things is that almost every single coach that I know will offer a free discovery session.
Okay.
And it's a free, 15 to half an hour, depending on the coach. And you can connect with them, and they'll have a series of questions to see if you're ready, if coaching is the right thing for you. And 2, is the coach that you're speaking to somebody that you want to invest your hard-earned dollars in, in a personal investment package in order to help you to move forward?
And in terms of that, I guess that's one of the questions I should ask, which is, what should people expect when they are having a coaching session? And I don't know if I'm incorrect in this, but I've always thought of a coach in terms of, is there a guide who helps you reflect through just a lot of self-discovery in terms of where you need to go and gives you guidance in terms of how to achieve your goals?
Mm-hmm.
But you still need to do the work.
Yeah. So the coach isn't there to do the work for you. as much as we would love a magical fairy, we would hire somebody and sprinkle that dust on us, and all of a sudden, wow, there's a new life. It doesn't work like that, unfortunately.
No, as much as most of us do. Otherwise, we'd be charging a lot of money for them.
It was funny, actually. I was just talking to a friend of mine over dinner tonight, and he was telling me that there is a coach in Vancouver that hired... basically had a group session, And the group session, this is a high-level coach, he was charging at $100,000
really?
For a week.
Wow.
Yeah, so coaches normally don't cost that much.
Okay.
Unless you're a high-end coach, which is like with a ton of experience and so forth. But to kind of go back to your question mm-hmm. there around...
What to expect.
Yeah, what to expect. Really, a coach is there. Now, there's lots of different types of training of coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are there more as mentors and advice givers and that kind of stuff. I've done that type of coaching. It's not as effective as a coach who basically creates a space for somebody to safely walk into where they can expect a lot of self-exploration questions,
okay.
Scaling, visualization, and basically the coach, a solution-focused coach, is there to support you on where you want to go. So it's not where they want to take you,
mm-hmm.
it's about where you want to go, and the coach is there to support you to get there.
Okay. So in regards to having a coach, so say somebody did the exploration session and the consultation and figured this is somebody I really would like to work with, what would be standard? Because I've been told that it takes about 6 weeks to change a habit. So would you recommend basically seeing somebody perhaps once a week for 6 weeks or more or less than that? And I guess it depends on what the goals are, but...
Yeah, it really does depend on what the goals are. When you're looking at habit changing or
mm-hmm.
habit enhancement, as I kind of like to say.
I like that.
Yeah, there is it's kind of framing in the positive. That's what we do
mm-hmm.
as coaches. Depending on what kind of study that you read, a habit can change anywhere from 21 to 30 days.
Okay.
And so it usually takes that, and it usually takes about another 30 days to kind of get that rolling and kind of cement the foundation around that. So how I do it, and I can only speak for myself, some coaches have 1 month packages, some have six, some, you know, every day for a year, depending.
Wow.
That's overwhelming for some people.
Mm-hmm.
How I operate is on a 90-day scale. So
okay.
I do the 1 month. I tend to do only one-off when somebody's already completed kind of a series.
Mm-hmm.
But I work with clients normally for the past couple of years. It's been on a 90-day package where they, you know, I work with the client once a week for around 45 minutes. And we do a lot of things around life wheels and as well as directions around businesses and self-exploration. And there's usually, when somebody goes to a coach, it's not just one thing. What happens is it starts to unravel another piece of it.
Hmm.
And so it's there, the coach is there to support that. And usually I find that 90 days is a great way to sustain some of that
mm-hmm.
habit enhancement and change.
I think that sounds fantastic. And that's one of the things I really want to stress, and I'm glad you're on the show, because through Passion Foundation, you do so much great and innovative work with the girls that you work with, but as well as that, both here as well in Kenya, that as well, you've also, you just had an article in the Kwantlen College paper, did you not, about
yeah.
Goal setting?
I did, yeah.
And you'd mentioned that was through one of your past clients that you've had.
Mm-hmm. I had a client who is a very successful now culinary chef and amazing. If you get a chance, culinaryinc.com, check it out. Donnie is phenomenal. And one of the things that I had the privilege of doing is working with Donnie to build Culinary Inc.
Okay.
And supported him through his process with that. And as a result, he was is in the nomination category for Entrepreneur of the Year for White Rock, for Young Entrepreneur of the Year for White Rock.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, and so one of the he mentioned having a coach, and the editor got a hold of me and asked me if I would be interested in writing for the Kwantlen Polytech newsletter for their New Year's article.
And what kind of points did you put in the article, if you want to summarize it for our listeners who may not have had a chance to take a look?
One of the, I guess, the title of it was Resolutions Be Gone. And, and the fact is that, like, only around 12% of people actually follow through with their resolutions, and yet people all over the world set them every year.
Wow.
And so what I did about a couple years ago was I thought, okay, you know, I keep setting these resolutions.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, because I've got some extra skill base and training behind me, I tend to achieve them, but and it was always maybe 3 to 6 months after, less energetic around it. And I started to look at what was most important in that. Was it actually me fulfilling that actual resolution, or was it kind of the intention of making a shift in my life?
Hmm.
And so what I talk about in the article was, instead of setting resolutions, is setting an intention.
I like that. And what are some of the things that people can do to basically, in terms of resolutions? So obviously getting a coach, I personally think, would be a really, really good help. And just some of the self-discovery that they're going to need to start with beforehand. Things like journals, for example. I'm a huge advocate for journaling, but I don't know what your thoughts are in regards to that, just to do and just finding different ways to self-discover.
Well, part of, yeah, journaling is fantastic. Blogging, some people, instead of having an actual, pen and paper is really the best way to do a lot of these things. And you can hear anybody from Dr. Wayne Dyer to, you know, different coaches and so forth really talk about writing things down. You make things concrete when you write them down. So if you spend some time exploring using pen and paper and writing them down, and one of the things that I always tell people is write it in pen. Don't write it in pencil. A lot of the times, what are we taught when we were kids? We use pencil for what? When we're about to make mistakes. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so subconsciously, we've already got that in our heads that when we use pencil, as long as we have an eraser, we can erase those out and make the changes. Whereas if we set them in pen, it's kind of like signing a check. We don't do it in pencil. We do it in pen because
mm-hmm.
it's permanent. And so if we can start setting those things out for yourself, and one of the things that I set for myself, and I do it all the time, is I actually create a little bit of a goal chart for myself. And I start moving through and creating that for myself. And I usually try to do that every 6 months, and I'll redo them for myself.
Okay, and would that start with, you'd mentioned a life wheel is something that you do a lot of. So would that be similar to, I'm familiar with balance wheels where you put different things that are very important in your life, so say money, your relationship, your family, maybe certain things like for myself, if I'm not working out and, you know, hula hooping once in a while, I get really grumpy. So things like that.
Yeah, so it can, depending on what type, there's so many different types of wheels out there.
Okay.
What I normally start with is something really, really basic for people, and I start with a five-part wheel, and it's the physical, the mental, the emotional, the social, and the spiritual self. And I really look at what those pieces mean to me, or what I get the client to explain what those pieces mean to them. And then they scale themselves on where they're at. And then you can normally tell with that as to, okay, where is the satisfaction or the dissatisfaction coming from? Because it'll be real clear that if you imagine that, and I use this in one of the workshops that I have called Shift It, Get Rooted, and imagine that wheel being the wheel of a bicycle. And once you've done that wheel and you're about to take a ride, how would your ride be? And people can get a real clear idea of where they need to inflate their tire just a little bit in order to get that extra oomph in their life.
That's a really neat analogy. And one of these days, me personally, I will actually learn how to ride a bicycle. But I grew up in a ballet studio, and I've only been on one very wobbly a couple times. So, but I like the analogy about that, just trying to figure out whether or not you need to take your brakes, you know, go take it in and get a tune-up for your brakes, or whether or not it needs a new tire, you need to fill air up, like where exactly it is. So I think that's really important. That's a really good analogy in regards to that. Do you find September and January tend to be times when people want to really hit in terms of goal setting?
Yeah, I find September, October is where people, you know, the summer, I see a lot of people because we live in such a beautiful city. Everybody is outdoors doing stuff, being active. And September is kind of it's usually kind of like a new year for people where they kind of settle down and start to look at, okay, what's important for me? Where do I need to move to next? Or they settle down in school and need to start kind of rearranging their schedule and setting a routine for themselves. Mm-hmm. And then come the spring, usually it's around end of January, February, people start kind of revving up again. We have a lovely rain city, I think they call it, where it's gray and dark and people kind of hibernate a little bit and then start to look at what shifts and changes they need to make as the season starts to shift.
For people who are looking, say they're kind of in a rut. So whether it's because one of the things I hear all the time in Vancouver is there's no people to date here, and I hear it all the time. And so that's one of the things I wonder sometimes whether that's a state of mind where when we're going out that we're not seeing those opportunities that might be there because of the fact we've closed our eyes to it, because our belief system tells us, I don't believe there's actually anybody out there. There's nobody to date in this city.
Yeah. I think I might have been in that boat at some point in time.
I think we all have.
It's actually funny because, to be honest, it's probably one of the hardest places in all the places that I've been. When looking at singles and my friends and my life, and I think that part of it is, it's a choice about how we think. Mm-hmm. I think that's a big part of it, regardless of this money, relationships, job, schooling, or just general choices of well-being.
Mm-hmm.
I think really a frame of mind is a starting point.
Yeah.
And then from there, it's looking at how do you make shifts and changes to get into different circles, to meet different types of people, and to get out there.
Mm-hmm. I keep telling people that. It's like, yes, I know we've got plenty of fish, and I think it's called Just Cupid or something like that, eHarmony and a lot of the different websites, but unless you're willing to get off your butt and off the computer and actually meeting someone face-to-face, it's not going to really make that much of a difference.
No. And the fact is, you know what, there are lots of single men in the city, and there's lots of single females, and there's kind of that, I think, this myth out there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's more, we have a higher female ratio than men. And I just think that we hang out in different spots.
And I agree
and I
with
think
you.
that probably has something to do with it, too. And I think that it's about taking action. Anything that you want in your life, if you are expecting it to be served to you in a silver platter, it's probably not going to happen for the most part, or it's not, it is going to happen, it's not going to be sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
And really it's about taking action and taking ownership of your life and what exactly do you want and how do you create that without investing all your time and energy into one area.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people are like, well, I just want to meet somebody, I just want to get out there, and yet they're not taking the healthy steps in order to get to that place.
No. Now, give me an example of an unhealthy step.
I think an unhealthy step, I was talking to a girl, for example, who, okay, I'm going to meet the man of my dreams, and I'm going to get, I'm on Plenty of Fish now. and so she's on Plenty of Fish, and she's like messaging and has all these guys and set up dates every night of the week. And I'm not kidding you, Sunday through Saturday, she had a date for the week. And that's great because dating, you know, is for some part, is about a numbers game, but what was happening is she was neglecting other parts of her life. So the focus was just on, I need this man in my life, I need this person in my life, but then the other parts start to suffer.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a lot of the times when you can set an intention of, this is what I want, this is what I want to create, and you hold that energy within yourself versus pouring it all into one area and creating some balance, usually that person ends up showing up.
Hmm. I think that's really good for people out there, and I hope listeners that, because I do get people who write in sometimes and ask about that. And I found it really interesting because I did have a relationship coach on who would actually, I think, would support what you've just said, because we actually went through StatsCan and it was actually fairly evenly balanced in terms of the fact that men and women, the ratio in terms of that in Vancouver. If we were in Whistler, it would be a little bit different because apparently there's 116 guys for every 100 women up in Whistler.
But. Well, ladies, now you know where to go.
Yes, you do, although it might just be for a weekend if it's, depending what the intention is. So.
Yeah.
Which that is one of the things I do ponder sometimes in regards to a lot of the online dating sites, because I think it's great because, like you said, it is sometimes can be a numbers thing where you set the intentions, but as well as that, I think it's a matter of exploring who you are as well and figuring out what are things I'd like to do. So is it going to the gym, maybe taking a cooking class, taking maybe learning a different language, something that makes you really excited and passionate about life and makes you more of a full person, I guess, is probably the best way to describe it. And I think sometimes when that happens, you put yourself in those areas where you meet those Mr. Right or Mrs. Right.
I think you hit a really key point in here, is that in life, and we're talking about passionate living as a foundation, or we're talking about relationships, or we're talking about coach. If you can create a healthy space for yourself, and if you can create a well-rounded of what's important to you, what you're most passionate about, what really drives you and energizes you, and it could be anything from, you know, we live in Vancouver, going to yoga and doing a hot yoga class, to spending time with friends having tea, to studying a new language, to hitting the slopes, to whatever, or walking around the city and taking photographs. If you can find something that creates that balance and have those in different areas of your life, you're more likely to find a partnership, I think, that that is real and whole and healthy. We live in a world that divorce rate's really high.
It is. It really is. And actually, I was actually going to ask if you ever get clients that are seeing you that may be kind of in a rut personally where it's affecting their relationships, et cetera. And I'm thinking in particular for people who maybe have had a child and just trying to find that happy balance between being a parent all of a sudden and still trying to find time for a relationship and just their general life.
Yeah, we juggle lots of roles.
We do.
And I think a majority of my clients, I have a few clients that are men. Majority of them have been female. I have worked with some females who are, you know, under the age of 40 and have already had a divorce or two. Or are new moms and working, you know, they've just gotten off of mat leave. They're going back to work. They are in a relationship, and the relationship is suffering because the passion isn't there anymore because there's now a child that fits that, you know, takes a bunch of time up and energy, and then there's the job. So there's all these pieces, and there's dinner to be cooked and the laundry to be done and, you know, all those different pieces, and how do you maintain that balance that works for you?
And that's a really tough one, and I imagine for each person it's different, but what are some key points you'd recommend in terms of trying to find balance?
First, figure out what is it that you want.
Okay.
A lot of people say, I just want balance. I want to, but they're not sure of what that actually looks like for them. So a lot of times I'll tell people, like, if you could imagine a day or a week where everything was just flowing and it was full and it was feeling good and you had your downtime, what would it look like? Right, what would it look like for you? What would you be doing? Where would your time be spent? You know, what would be the feelings that are attached to that? What would you be sensing about yourself and the people and the things around you? And then working from that place about how do you get that? How do you create that in your life? Because it's possible. A lot of people, it's funny because a lot of people say, you know, Loretta, what happens if you have a baby? Your whole life would be, you know, it would be all thrown off. And I think that because I do so many different things, I think that I can do that because I learned to prioritize as to what's the most important to me. Mm-hmm. And what are things that don't really need to be done right now?
Yes. And I think that's something that we all, I know I struggle with that sometimes too, just in terms of trying to find the happy balance between everything. So enough love, seeing friends enough, and doing the things I'm really, really crazy passionate about as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it can be a really tight one. So in terms of with coaching, and especially if somebody is trying to find that balance in their life and they're not happy, say, in their relationship, is there some keys just in terms of, because I don't know if people come in sometimes and expect that it's going to magically, where you're able to wave that wand and change everything overnight. Like, especially if it's in regards to another person where perhaps things aren't very healthy. Maybe things are very unhappy.
There's not really any particular, I guess it kind of again comes back to what is it that you want things to look like?
Hmm.
And is that feasible
with this person?
With this person.
Okay.
We can't control other people. We can't control behavior. We can't control. And the more that we try, the more resistance we get. And the more resistance we get, the more things can fly all over the place. Right? And
yeah.
We've all been in that situation at some point or another. And I think that, you know, it's really about, what is it that you want? Is it, and being realistic, and being honest with yourself and not living in kind of this make-believe world,
mm-hmm.
that everything will be okay if I just do this. A lot of the times I'll ask, you know, what is it that you want the most? What is it that you want to feel? What is it that you want to create? And can you do this with who you're with?
Mm-hmm.
Is that feasible for you? And you know what? Relationships are work. They're not a piece of cake. And you have to also be willing to, it's a two-sided, it's 100% and 100%. If somebody starts to go down in their motivation to participate in a relationship, that's a new relationship all the time.
Hmm. So in other words, you can't force somebody to do something. All you can do is focus on yourself, and through changing your perception and by establishing what you want, and just taking those steps for self-discovery, that's how you change your life.
That, and I think communicating, what is it that
yes.
you want to the person that you're involved with? I think that a lot of people, men and women that I've met, make this assumption, well, they're not like that, or they don't want this, or they're, you know, but they've never had that conversation from a really genuine place. And I think when you have that conversation in a genuine place, you really start to get a real sense of what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, that makes sense. And one of my favorite books, which I'm always quoting, is Gary Chapman's Five Love Languages, which I love because sometimes people don't communicate in the same way. Some people, it's through acts of service, gifts, kindness in terms of words of acknowledgement, physical contact. And there's one that I'm missing, and I always miss this one. It's quite interesting. I'm sure my regular listeners could probably fill that one in immediately. But it's interesting where sometimes people think that they're expressing love and communicating, but because the other person has a different way of receiving and communicating, they may not understand that you're trying to communicate that you care about them.
Yeah, and I think this is a huge thing. And actually, I had a situation just recently where I'm very much the person who acts as service. Probably tell that what I do. And I love being of service. I love cooking for people. I love coaching, and I don't love coaching because it, you know, a lot of people think, well, you love coaching because it makes good money. No, I love coaching because I get to be of service and I get to help somebody or assist them in creating that space. And I think, too, that when I was living with a friend of mine after I sold my condo, and hers was communication. She used words. And it was really strange because I would get up in the morning and be like, oh, do you want some coffee? And I would, you know, make us a really nice speech, you know, Americano in the morning. And she would never do anything back. And I was up.
And after a while, it gets resentful where it's just like, hey.
So we had to have a conversation. I had to step out of mine and use my words and say, hey, what's going on? And she's like, I use words. I always tell you how awesome you are. I always, you know, I say have a really great day and that I love you and I, you know, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. You were such a, when we started communicating about the different ways that we communicate mm-hmm. and show how we care about each other, things start to shift and change in our relationship, which is really cool.
It is really, really cool. And I think that's a really neat discovery.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of for moving forward, what's next for you, my darling?
I'm going to take over the world.
I know that, yeah. And I'm hoping to do that by your side. So.
Well, we're so doing it together. Well, there's a couple of things. We have, in regards to the Passion Foundation, which is my passion, it's my drive for being, is we're going to do a BC roadshow. I partnered with an organization in Ontario called the Strength Within Girls Group that does conferences for girls, weekend conferences that include private concerts. And so we're going to pair up where I'm going to be doing the coaching part with groups of girls, and they're going to be assisting them with creating the conference and holding these conferences for girls. And the hope is to start in North and West Vancouver.
Nice.
And then move across to hit the goal is 400 to 500 girls in 2011 in British Columbia.
I think you can do that in a heartbeat.
I think it's possible. I set the bar high, and I do my best to achieve it. So that's really cool. Mm-hmm. We've also got a Passion to Action, and that project is going to take some girls from local high schools who are interested in sustainability in all of its facets and creating dialogue sessions with business people in the community who focus around sustainability, and then offer the girls an opportunity to create a project through leadership, literacy development, and social development and sustainability, and create a project into the community.
That's fantastic.
And that will start in March. And my hope is also to make it back to Nairobi, as one of the girls that I worked with in 2008 is now supporting over 500 young women.
Wow.
And keeping them in school and sexually safe, and providing them with Luna pads, or pads for girls, so they can stay in school, which is really it's really amazing to have that connection with Madeline and Suzanne from Luna Pads here in Vancouver.
I can't wait. I'm actually having them, thanks to you, have that connection.
Oh, fantastic.
I'm actually having them on the show on January 6th, so I'm looking forward to that. And
oh, I'm so tuned into that.
I'm really excited. So, and they've been absolutely fantastic. So I think it's really terrific that you're connected. And especially the pads for girls, I think that's fabulous. So what are some things, just what you'd like to share in terms of how people can get involved in terms of charity? Because I know one of the things, because you write your column for Vancouver Observer as well, and one of the things we talked about, you and I, off air, but it was in your column recently, was about the bill C-470, which basically trying to limit what executive directors make. And I know you and I spoke about it, where the big concern was just in terms of how people were measuring success of organizations, etc. And in terms of moving forward, because of course organizations do need money, because to quote Peter Brinkerhoff, who writes Mission-Based Management, no money, no mission. And I think you and I have totally blown that theory out of the water, but for sustainability and being able to replicate what we do and keep it moving forward, we do need to raise funds for the different projects that we do. Is there anything that you'd like to share with our listeners about that?
Well, yes, there's lots, actually. But basically, to keep it really brief, the Passion Foundation has been operating with very minimal funding since we started in 2007. And we're a registered charity, which is pretty incredible. And McCarthy Petrol does all of our stuff pro bono, and they're amazing in supporting us to do that. And we have really great results, and I think that's attributed to a lot of the amazing volunteers that we've had, that support, and are my board of directors.
And you're a pretty amazing woman yourself. So.
And I spend a lot of time and energy doing that. Like, People don't realize the amount of hours that I put in daily and weekly into making that happen.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, if we can get these type of results with with minimal, imagine what type of results that we could get with funding where I could do this full time, or mm-hmm. where, you know, the projects for the materials for the girls was taken care of, where, I mean, we have so many neat things that we want to do and to support these girls, and that these girls want to do, because they mm-hmm. take on new projects, which is, every girl that I've worked with has done something more than just the project. They've gone on and raised money for another nonprofit. They have, for our nonprofit, they have, one of them now is going to UVic, and she is a photographer, and she interviews musicians because that's her passion, and being able to support her to do that. There are, so really, I mean, we have online donations that you can set up through our website, passionfoundation.org. If you're interested, if anybody's interested in volunteering and supporting in their own way, or maybe they have a business that they would love to take a girl on for an internship to learn the trade, contact me. It's the more support that we can get for the girls mm-hmm. and for the mission that we're trying to do around literacy and social development, the greater the future will be for some of the projects that we want to take on.
I think that's fantastic. And for you personally, in terms of for coaching, this is one question I didn't ask earlier, but say somebody's listening and they're, say, in Toronto or in Europe, and do you do coaching online through Skype at all?
I do, yeah. I do. 90% of my coaching is actually done via phone.
Okay.
Actually, probably say 95 of it. It's done over the phone, and oftentimes when clients are away on a vacation or aren't able to access the telephone for whatever reason, they often will use Skype as well.
Mm-hmm. If you could wave a magic wand and change things in the world, what would be the top three things you'd like to change?
The top
three things. Mm-hmm.
Wow, you said a great question.
Oh, thank you.
There's so many. I have to pick just three. I think
I can always have you on again.
So. I'd love that. I think the top three things, one of the things, honestly, is to empower people that don't believe that they are empowered or could ever be empowered.
Hmm.
And I think that for me is a big thing, because I've watched people that have absolutely nothing in a third world country, with very little hope, with basically just a bit of spirit left mm-hmm. in their belly, to making some mass transitions and changes and providing empowerment, not just only to their lives, but to others.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that if more people had an opportunity to do that, this world would be significantly different. Whether it came to food or shelter or employment or women's rights or gay rights, or, you know, I really think that having that, I think the second thing, if I could wave a magic wand, I think healing is another part. If people, like the girls that I work with in the prison, if those people were given the opportunity to really, truly heal.
Mm-hmm.
That if I could change that in the world, there's a lot of people that feel broken.
Yes.
And if we can create a space for them to heal, and that would be a really powerful shift in the world when it comes to violence and crime and self-harm.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the third one would be acts of kindness, random acts of kindness.
Hmm.
If I could wave a magic wand and everybody every day could do one random act of kindness, from walking on the right side of the sidewalk in Vancouver to holding a door open for somebody because they're actually looking over the shoulder to see if somebody's behind them.
Hmm.
To seeing somebody and having the opportunity to help out and doing it. Not because they're asked, but because they know that they can and they want to.
I like that. If you could go into the school systems and teach kids something that you'd like them to do, so say from the age of 5 on, what's something that you'd like to actually add to that, to the curriculum? So maybe, you know, say 50 years from now, Passion Foundation would be doing more advocacy in terms of educating them earlier as opposed to dealing with later on in life, if that makes sense.
Well, actually, it was interesting. I had Deb Tuve-Cox, the executive director of Dress for Success here in Vancouver, and she was saying to me that if some of the women who access some of their services had an opportunity to connect with a program like Passion Foundation when they were in their teenage years, they may have still faced the same circumstances, but they would have perhaps had different types of choices or opportunities because of what that literacy and social development creates in people's lives. And so I think that if I could go back and work in a really early age is around that. How do we work together versus how do we get in front and win in front of the person behind us, especially with girls, because one of those things that girls are kind of notorious for or stereotyped around is around catfighting and bullying and using words to create pain. And I think that if we started with young girls and kept that connection around community and girlfriends and support, that as they grew up and they could, it wouldn't be for that competition or that comparing anymore. It would really be about how do we work together to all of us get to the to where we want to be successful.
I like that. So basically, by inspiring everybody, they can and be to be the best person that they can be individually, makes the world a better place in a really, really big grand scheme.
Yeah, it really does.
And is there anything I didn't ask you that you'd like to add on?
Well, no, I think we pretty much have it. I think if we just went, you know, touch back a little bit, the Passion Foundation, like I said, please check out the website. And if you have an opportunity, head down to Robson Square and check out the artwork. I know Dave Dixon went down and he sent me a little message and he said those things, like, are really touching. Those words and those pieces are really touching. And for somebody who has seen what Dave's seen over the years to say that, they're really powerful. And if people had an opportunity to see them and contribute to them, it would significantly make a difference in the lives of these young girls to show that the community does care and they are still part of it, even though they may have taken actions to walk themselves out of that community, that they are still part of it and there's still an opportunity for them to connect. And so that's kind of the Passion Foundation piece of it. The coaching piece, it's really powerful. And I myself have hired coaches. I've been mentored by 4 master coaches, which has been phenomenal. And I've worked with a lot of clients. And if you have an opportunity and want some change, I highly recommend to connect to a coach to assist you, that it is possible and that you can get where you want to go, even though it may seem not realistic, and that there's an opportunity for you to make that happen.
And I think that just makes everything exciting. So in terms of it's passionfoundation.org for your website, and in terms of for your website for coaching, what is the website for that?
If somebody wants to check out the website and kind of look at even some testimonials or look at packages or more information, you just go to lorettachella.com. So it's lorettachella.com.
That's perfect. Well, thank you very much for being on the show.
Thank you very much for having me. That hour just flew by quickly.
It goes pretty quickly. Oh, that, I do have one last question.
Sure.
How long are the art pieces up at Robson Square?
Well, originally they were supposed to be there till January 8th, but they've extended it now to January 15th.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And it will be closed from December 24th to January 4th for the holidays. So if you want to head down there this week or head in the new year, and it'd be much appreciated.
And I have a weird question in regards to that. Will you be auctioning them off afterwards, possibly, to raise funds for the organization, if the girls felt comfortable with it?
That is something that we're actually up in the air of deciding of what the next steps are, whether if there is an organization that serves good women and girls that would like to hold a piece, or whether we'll auction them off. It's still up in the air, but any updates around that will be on the website.
Okay, so we're going to have to stay tuned for that, in other words. And that gives everybody who's listening out there an opportunity to check out Passion Foundation. And as well as that, I hope you get yourself down to Robson Square, because I think that's absolutely important, especially as you're looking at New Year's. And sometimes I think it starts with forgiving ourselves and acceptance and really taking a look at those pieces just within ourselves as well. And I commend and applaud the girls who created this. And Loretta, darling, I applaud you as well, because this would not have happened without you. Because although it takes a community to build things, it starts with one person who has the concept and is able to spearhead and inspire everybody else to work. Because as you mentioned before, a lot of times there's all those hours that are behind the scenes that people don't see that you work really, really, really hard at. So I commend you.
Thank you so much. And I really appreciate the energy that you put into to what we do and supporting the girls and their moving around their artwork.
Thank you. Well, I've got to get my butt down there and go to check it out too. So
yes.
Which
yeah,
would be
and
great.
Definitely let me know what you think and some of your feedback around it.
I definitely will. And on that note, I will encourage everybody to add their comments as well. And as Loretta said at the top of the hour, in case you're just joining us now, you can actually leave your comments there as well, because there is a box there that you can write your comments in. Or if you're able to and you're not in Vancouver and you want to check it out, you can actually check it out on her blog as well, where she does have some pictures, and you can post comments as well, and with that she'll actually type them out herself and actually put them down and actually add them to the piece, which is great. So it's actually, although it started as with the girls themselves and her inspiration and just through a collaborative process, it's now adding on to the community feedback as well, which is really exciting. So, everybody, thank you so much for listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be back next week at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock. And in the meantime, I want you to really think about what you want and what's important to you in regards to yourself, your relationships, your life, what makes you feel good about who you are. And know that that's probably the best holiday gift you can give yourself is really taking stock of where you're at right now and where you want to go and what you need to do and who you need to engage to get to the next level. And hopefully that will be somebody like Loretta, who is a phenomenal person. And I really encourage you to check out what she does, both through Passion Foundation as well as her personal coaching. And up next, Hans von Claus is not on tonight with Misery Hour. He's actually should be back next week. And I look forward to everybody enjoy your happy holidays and very, very, very happy times. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We'll be back next week. Thank you. Goodbye.
Sexual Assault Support Center offers support services to survivors of sexual assault and other forms of violence, as well as their friends, family members, and partners. They are committed to education and the support of students, staff, faculty, and visitors of all genders. They offer counseling, accompaniments, information, and referrals. They also facilitate specialized workshops and training sessions, develop public education campaigns, and hold special events related to anti-violence work. All services are free and confidential. For more information on programs and services or on volunteer opportunities, visit their website, www.ams.ubc.ca/SASC.
This boy and girl coming home from school look quite content with life.
The UN force,
and why not?
To make clear,
they're looking forward to an important date, dinner at home with the family.
Sure that,
what's the matter?
The UN,
doesn't that sound exciting to you?
Luckily, UBC students have lots of on-campus dining options.
Being worked through.
The Pendulum Restaurant, your source for fresh dishes made in-house. The Pendulum boasts a large selection of vegan dishes, a comfortable atmosphere, and tasty...
...is widely recognized as the election winner and the...